in thoughts, I believe. Of course, they got some good thoughts in there. There's no doubt about that. But I believe in an every word Bible. And so, all right, everybody okay? Let's pray together and we'll get right into our Bible study. Father, you're so good to us and wonderful, greater than what we can even imagine. And Lord, you give us a precious word to learn more about you, that we might know you. Lord, this Bible is written that I might know you, who you are, why you came, what you do for us. And it's all about you tonight. And help me to show forth the best that I can this evening about your preeminence. You're above everything. You are rank and file above everyone. You have full authority. And you are the great God. And help me, oh God, just to show forth that. Lord, we got to have you. We can't do nothing without you. Cleanse me, I'm asking. There be no hindrances or anything that would be hurtful anyway in my heart or my mind. Touch me fresh, I pray, of thy power. And may you be the one that has heard through your written word tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. We looked last week, we're looking at the preeminence of everything. And when we looked there last week, the preeminence in the church. And sad as I am to say, I am really sad that the Pope has passed away. It has been dictated by him and Catholicism that he is the head of the church, but that's not true. Christ is the head of the church. And but it does sadden my heart that he has passed, because and I'm not no judge or jury. I don't know what he done in the last moments of his life, but they have peddled works religion ever since their beginning. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's just a sad to know that people who peddle a works religion and their faith is in themselves instead of God, that it's a sad situation. But the head of the church is Christ. And we look there verse 18, we're in Colossians chapter 1. We looked at verse 18, and we've seen that he is the first begotten of the dead. Now, that first begotten does not mean he was born first. That is in authority. We showed you the scripture where even Jacob and Esau was the eldest. Jacob took the blessing. Even though he was not firstborn, he got the firstborn blessing. We showed you about David being the youngest of Jesse's children, and yet the psalm said that God would make him firstborn, and it's because of preeminence, it's because of authority. And what we're looking at is Christ is the head of the church. And we went all the way down to the fullness of God and the greatness of him, all right? Now, let's pick up here in verse 20. And we're going to read down through verse 23 here, and then we'll look at some things, okay? Is everybody with me? All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and, I love the way the Bible's written, because there's so much, you just keep saying and he. In 18 it says, and he, and he's just more and more and more and more. He's more than we can fathom. He's more than we can understand. Just keep adding. I mean, he's just great. But it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, we know who he's talking about here. We went over that last week. It's him. It's Christ. That's who we're talking about here. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, when we look here at this word reconcile, by him to reconcile all things, we want you to understand that he is the first place, high above all authority in reconciliation. And I want us, everybody, to be clear that God was not reconciled to us. Because God done nothing wrong. But man is the sinner. And man is reconciled to God. And you say, well, what's the difference? There's a vast difference. A lot of times reconciliation is that two parties that are against one. Well, that's not true. God never moved. And we turned and rebelled against God. And Christ came in and brought us to God by the blood of his cross. So we're reconciled by Christ. That's why he has the preeminence in reconciliation. And we understand that. So the more you read your Bible, and if you read it if you read it the way the Bible is written, you'll always find Christ, and you'll be on top everywhere you read through the Scripture. When you want to know what the interpretation is, keep looking for Christ, and you'll find. When you find Christ in there, you'll get the right interpretation. Everybody understand? So the Bible ain't complicated. We just got to find Christ there. Man is not the main character. Our livelihood is not the main character. Our wellness is not the main character. Christ is the main character. Even when he ascended back and the Holy Spirit came in his place, okay, he came to glorify the Son. He came to speak of his Son. He came to speak of Christ, okay? And then he moves in. It's Christ in us, hope of glory, but the Holy Spirit directs that. And all attention must go to Jesus Christ, all right? So when we look at this preeminence, we see it's by his cross, it says, and having made peace, all right, through the blood of his cross. We have the blood and his cross there, all right, by him. All right, so we done read first chapter 1, verse 20, 23. Now, reconcile, we got the meaning of it written there for you. It's the process of making two groups or people friends again after they have been set apart. And again, it wasn't on God's part. God never run nobody off. But God's got a standard. And that line, that standard was rebelled against. And that's what separated man from God. God didn't throw man away. God has never thrown man away. Man walked away. Everybody understand that? And God made a way for everybody, and that's in reconciliation. So let's turn to Ephesians. Now, even if we get to the new handout, we're going to be looking at Ephesians a lot this evening. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And again, we're talking about Christ. All right, now we can go all the way back up if you need to, in verse 12, and see that we're still talking about Christ. Verse 13 shows us, but now in Christ Jesus, okay, in Christ Jesus, we see. Well, let's just start there at 13. That would be best, I believe. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But that's what we just read there in Colossians. For he is our peace. Hold your finger there and stay with me now in Colossians chapter 1. And having made peace. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace. Everybody got that? Well, look here in verse 14 is Ephesians 2. For he is our peace. Having made peace, he is our peace. Remember that. Who hath made both one. We're back in Ephesians 2:14. Everybody with me? It says, who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. All right? Now, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, it was by his death on the cross. He died physically. He didn't swoon. It was not a spiritual thing. He done it in the flesh. He died in the flesh. Literally died. He was buried. He literally arose fleshly, bodily. All right? Everybody still with me? Now, verse 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Okay, so again, he is the preeminence in reconciliation. He is what gets us to God. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, it's not Christ plus anything. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands this. It's not, and I'm sure you do, but I want to make sure everybody's listening. All right, it's not Christ plus anything. It's not Christ plus your faith.
No.
Okay? Because Christ reconciled, period. All right? Now, I believe it. It's appropriated to me. I'm justified. Oh, yeah, oh, that's great. But I don't have nothing in that. It's Christ plus nothing. It's not plus baptism. It's not plus church membership. And it's definitely not plus good works.
Amen.
Okay? Now, we are bombarded, especially in today. Now, it's always been, but it seems like we're bombarded all the time now about everything is God, everything's Jesus, and everything's sincere, and sincerity is all that's necessary. That's not true. It's Christ and Him alone. It's got to be acknowledged that Christ is God. It's got to be acknowledged that Christ is the only way. And it's not the Baptist way. Christ being the only way ain't the Baptist way. That's the Bible way. Okay? And it's Christ plus nothing. Now, it's definitely not good works. The reason being is we don't have enough good works, if we got any. All right? Because to have good works to accomplish anything, we would have to be completely perfect. We couldn't fail ever. Okay? And that ain't going to happen. And if we fail one place, the Scripture plainly tells us that we're guilty of everything then. So, it's Christ and Him alone. But again, that's why the Bible teaches in Acts, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it's Christ. It's Christ alone. They sing the song, Christ alone. And that's where our reconciliation comes from. Look at Romans chapter 5. Am I talking too fast? Romans chapter 5. Look here at verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Now again, I want to make sure you understand, it wasn't God to us. It's us to God. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So that reconciliation is by the blood of His cross, but can I tell you, the resurrection brings it in there too, that by His life, we are reconciled unto God. I have a living, suffering, victorious Savior who died in my place, was buried, rose again, alive and well, and He's everything. Okay? And He is everything. All right? Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And let's start here. I got 18 wrote down there. Let's start at 17. Okay, I hate to just be right there and not read that. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. Now listen to this. God is the one that made sure we had a way to come to Him. Everybody understand that? That He has reconciled us to how? By Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Let me tell you something. It don't get no better than that right there. I want you to understand that God ain't going to let us go. He didn't want us to. It wasn't His desire that they be a conflict. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And again, not Him to us, but us to Him. Everybody understand that? Not imputing, now this is the most wonderful truth, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Hey, think about that. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I don't know that there's a Sunday, probably that verse ain't read or quoted in some way. I quoted in most every message I ever preach. He who knew no sin became sin for us, reconciling us to God. You understand that we're not at odds no more. We come to Christ by faith. We're not at odds no more. We're in the family. Think about that. And we're getting along. Think about that. And God's looking at us, and the slate's clean, for we're justified, and we have the righteousness of Christ. That's how reconciled we are, that there's not even a thought that there was an issue, because God looks in and sees us justified as if we had never done it wrong and done everything exactly right. Man, that, you don't get no better than that. You can't start over no better than that right there when you start with a clean slate of no memory. Think about that. Ain't that wonderful? I mean, to me, this is some of my favorite right here. Some of my favorite passages. Now, all this results in peace with God. Now, let's read on here in Colossians. Go back to Colossians 1. Because we want to continue this reconciliation here. It says, in you that were sometime alienated. Now, didn't we just read, we who were sometimes afar off in Ephesians? See how similar they are? And enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath what?
He reconciled.
He done. He did it. Look at verse 22. In the body of his flesh. Well, didn't we just read that in Ephesians?
Yeah.
In his flesh. In the body of his flesh through death. We read that in Romans, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then where we read it in Romans chapter 5, we was enemies. We reconciled by his death so much more than being reconciled by his life. And you want to say it in Romans? Talk to me.
Yeah.
All right. So in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Look how he's going to do it. To present you holy. Well, we ain't never been holy. But because we're reconciled to God, we're going to be presented holy.
Amen.
Wow. That's like God.
Amen.
Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
Trying to show you how saved you are. How lost we was, how saved we are now. Huh? To present you holy. And look at that next word. And what? Unblameable. Nothing is going to be brought up.
Right.
No blame. And unreprovable.
Hello.
Ain't that most wonderful?
Yeah.
Huh? Now, I don't know whether y'all enjoy Colossians, but I know I'm a wretch.
Yeah.
And I enjoy Colossians really well. I just want you to know, Colossians and Ephesians help me to know that I'm going to make it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right? And it's going to have to be by Christ, because other than that, I ain't going.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, without Christ, you ain't going either.
Right.
Okay? Think about that. And then verse 23, now here's where we want to, let's go back to Romans 5 just for a moment, because we're looking at this unblameable and unreprovable. All right, let's look at Romans 5. Is everybody still with me? I ain't got nobody confused, have I? Romans 5, let's look at verse 1. It says, therefore, I love these therefores, wherefores, therefore. Therefore means this is a fact right here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I got peace. I got peace with God. Now, I got peace in God too, but I got peace with God because I'm reconciled. I was an enemy. Now, we're at peace. Everybody understand that? All because of Christ. Now, go back to Ephesians. I said we're going to stay in there a lot. You can't teach Colossians without Ephesians. You can't teach Ephesians without Colossians. Ephesians 2, well, we read it, but I'm going to read it again. All right? Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. For he is our peace.
Amen.
Yes.
Is everybody all right with that?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Now, he don't give you peace to put in your pocket.
Right.
He is our peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christ in me, hope of glory. Okay? For he is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace. I got peace because I got Christ. My assurance in salvation is he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath not the Son hath not life. I got the Son, I got life. I got the Son, I'm reconciled. I got the Son, I got peace. I got the Son, I'm justified. Everything that I have is because of Christ. Huh? Think about that. Now, verse 23, back in Colossians 1:23. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, all right? But we're not teaching works here, and neither does this scripture. But I want you to understand something very clearly here. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Now, we're talking about all this reconciliation in there. But verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. It, the evidence of the reconciliation is the faithfulness to the gospel, to believing the gospel. All right? Truly saved, being truly saved. Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And not tares among the wheat, not professors without possessors. All right? I'm talking about that continuing in the faith is not me working continuing in the faith. It's that faith that's continuing. I'm in it. All right? Everybody understand? Talk to me.
Yeah.
All right, so we're nowhere is works involved there. I want everybody to understand again, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Yeah.
That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works.
Right.
Lest any man suppose, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by works, it's by Christ. It's by Christ. And there's nothing, no greater truth to know than it's by Christ. Okay? Is everybody all right? Well, let's look on down now to verse 24. All right? And let's read 24 down through verse 29, and we'll get started on this. All right? Now, remember now, Paul is writing. He's in prison. He's writing a prison epistle. And he's writing about the preeminence of Christ. What he's doing, technically, is he's refuting some false doctrine that had slipped into the church. And there was confusion there. And he's wanting to make sure everybody is back on track with Christ being having the preeminence in everything. All right. And now he says in verse 24, who now... Well, let's go back to the last part of verse 23. He says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
Mm-hmm.
Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the work of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's another part of a verse that's probably used every Sunday. If you go back and study about it just a little bit, there are some verses that I quote regularly. For he who knew no sin and Christ in you hope of glory, okay? Now it says, so which is Christ in you the hope of glory, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that ye may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, I want to start here in verse 24 again, as we separate this, and look now at the preeminence in ministry. And I want to remind you that you are in the ministry. You are in the ministry. Now, I don't know how good a minister you are. That ain't for me to say. But you're in the ministry. You're in the service. You're in the army. All right? You're the body of Christ. And the body, the church. And the church is in the ministry. Okay? The body of Christ, the church. Everybody listening to me? All right, we're in the ministry. Now, but here, I want you to look here now. There's nothing better than following the Lord. I'm going to ask you, do you believe that? Is there anything better than following the Lord? Now, we've done had the other life. Is it better or worse than what we got now? They say there ain't nothing better than serving the Lord. And there's nothing better than following him. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. All right? Now, I got some things here. The reason I got this, we're going back to Ephesians and look at something. Because I don't want to discourage you because of suffering that comes with ministry. Okay? So I want you to understand how well you got it If you understand how well you got it, then when bad times come, you don't fret about it as much as if you know how good you got it. All right? Does everybody understand? I mean, if your power bill doubled, and it was $150, and it raised to $250, or $300, doubled, all right, that's bad. But if you got $1 billion in the bank, it ain't no big deal. Right? Well, we've got the riches of Christ Jesus, according to His grace. And it don't matter what we go through, what we got's better and more than what we got to put up with.
Amen.
All right? So I want you to see how good you got it, and then we want to look at the suffering just a minute. So we're going to go to Ephesians. All right, let's go back to Ephesians. And let's look here. All right, because we're not teaching both places. We just want to show you how good you got it. Okay? Because Paul says, who now rejoice in my suffering. So we're going to look at that rejoice first. All right? You can rejoice in how much you got. Everybody all right? You don't rejoice in what you don't have. Is that true? I mean, what's there to be happy about if you ain't got it? But if you got something, you ought to rejoice in it. Are we okay? So let's look at Ephesians 1. 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So I can see I'm set apart by God. If you're saved, you're set apart by God. Can you agree to that tonight? All right, let's look at verse 2 and 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want you to understand that positionally. Everybody look at me. And don't look at me like you got two heads now, but look at me. Okay? Positionally, because we're set apart by God, reconciled, justified, sanctified, soon to be glorified, all right, eternally saved, okay, then positionally, we are already seated in heaven with all spiritual blessings. With all, already have all spirit. That's what it says here. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because I'm in Christ positionally, I'm the same as already there. I'm the same. As far as God's concerned, I am there. Now, does everybody understand what I'm saying? That is the simplicity of the security of the believer.
Amen.
That I am in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm not in Mark, I'm in Christ.
Amen.
And because I'm in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Hang with me now, everybody listening. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm in Christ. He's already blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And as far as God's concerned, I'm already there. That's how secure salvation is, by grace. Now, if it was by works, ain't nobody going. Now, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I don't know if y'all went through and underlined what I told you when we started this. If you go through and underline of Him, by Him, in Him, through Him, and all that, you're almost going to have a pencil line all the way through Ephesians and Colossians. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, how? By Jesus Christ, where? According to the good pleasure of who? You in there anywhere? It's all by Him, man. All right? Can I just tell you, once you know, we're adopted into His family. I want you to know, how saved are you tonight? Huh? Well, you're set apart. You're positionally already with Him. Huh? And you're adopted into His family. But then look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of... Wow. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Can I tell you, we're accepted in the beloved, or should I say, we're objects of His love.
Right.
the God of glory has you for an object of His love.
Amen.
Accepted you into the beloved, into the family. I look at Jesse holding that little baby. All right? Do you love her? Can't even explain it, can you? I bet you say, I love you all the time, don't you? Huh? I bet you, oh, I love you, huh? Yeah, she's the object of your love. Why? Because you give birth to her. Can I tell you that we, being born again, become the object of the Savior's love? Huh? Hey, Abby, you ain't told that little gal you love her yet, have you? How many times a minute do you say that? Huh? It's because you give her birth. And it was a miracle, was it not? It was a miracle. Can I tell you that everybody in here born again? Huh? We're objects of the love of a wonderful Savior, huh? How good you got it tonight? Huh? Think about it. Now, let's look here. Now, we're going to read these scriptures here together. I want you to look at verse 4, 7, 13, and 14. All right, now I'm going to read you the scripture here, but I want you to see what we got. We're chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Spirit. I want you to know how well you got it. Be okay? Verse 4, according as He has chosen us, where at? Wow. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. All right? So I'm chosen by the Father. How about that? Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Huh? In whom we have redemption where? Yeah. Through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what?
Yeah.
His grace. Huh? So we're chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son.
Yeah.
Huh? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now let's look at verse 13. In whom we also trusted. In whom ye also trusted. In whom? At in whom is the same as in Him, by Him, through Him, at in whom? All right. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Can I go ahead and tell you that's Him too? All right. The gospel of your salvation, in whom? There He is again, in whom? Also after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, huh? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of who? His glory. Can I tell you, we're chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, huh? Ain't that good? Huh? Man, how saved are you tonight? Huh? Then let's run over to Philippians 3:20. Huh? Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only am I set apart by God, positionally I'm already seated in heaven. I'm adopted into His family. I'm accepted into His beloved, becoming an object of His love, chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, and this world is not my home. My conversation is in heaven. That's how much you got tonight. Now, if you're a believer, you got it. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care how close you've been reading or praying, because of Christ and in Christ, every believer has the same inheritance.
Oh, right. Amen. Right.
Think about that.
Exactly.
In Christ.
Right.
So He's the preeminence in everything. Are we okay? All right, well, we got to go a little further now. But being a Christian and being in service does not mean we'll have an easy road. We're reminded here in Colossians, go back to Colossians chapter 1. We're reminded that there is suffering in service. Now let's not forget who's writing this and where he's at. He's in jail. He's in jail. He don't have freedom. He's not been treated the best. Now, he's been given some things. If you go back and read, there was some grace showed Paul. Now, when Paul and Silas was in jail, it may not have been too good when they beat the hide off of them and they was singing and praising the Lord, and the Philippian jailer come in there. That's not this imprisonment here. Okay? But Paul's in prison, and there was some grace shown to him. That he was a prisoner in a house.
Right.
chained to a soldier, and the scripture will tell you that he was even able to lead people to the Lord while he was chained to them and a prisoner. So there was times that his prison sentence or his situation wasn't the harshest. But can I tell you, I don't care how good it is, if you're chained, it ain't good. Everybody understand that? We don't want chains. But there was a lot more suffering than just jail. Because we do know that Paul was beaten 5 times. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. All these perils come upon him. So he suffered many things. And it says here in verse 24, who now, he said in verse 23, he said, I, Paul, am made a minister, who now, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Okay? Now, he suffered for them, not for their salvation or their forgiveness, but suffered for them to bring them the gospel. The reason Paul was in jail was because he preached the gospel.
Yes.
And that suffering for them was to minister. Okay? They're suffering in ministry. Does everybody understand? They're suffering in ministry. I want to make sure you follow me now. All right? And there's some things we forget when we follow the Lord. Now, Brother Butch, I've known Butch for, I don't know, 20-some years. And Brother Butch, most every time I've ever heard him pray, before he come to church here, as long as I know him, camp meetings, everything else, when Brother Butch Rex Road would pray, he'd always say somewhere to him, Lord, make us more like you. Or God, make me more like Jesus. Some way he would say that. Well, that sounds great, don't it? Don't that sound great? You know, we want to be like Christ. We want to have the attitude. We want to have the forgiveness. We want to have the love, the compassion. But that ain't all there is. Let's go back to Philippians. And we're going to quit with this right here tonight. Philippians 3:10. When we say we want to be like Christ and we strive or desire or purpose, however, whatever word you want to use there, to be like Christ, then you better be ready, because there's some suffering got to come with it. All right? Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know him. Well, that's this is my life verse. All right? That I may know him. That's my desire. I want to know more about him. We sing the song, more and more about Jesus. More about Jesus, what I know. More about Jesus, what I learn. More about Jesus. All right? And I read this Bible, and I study this Bible that I might know more about him. But it says that I may know him. And then the power of his resurrection. I want to know him and that power. The Bible plainly teaches that if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in me. All right, so I have this same Spirit. The power of his resurrection, a newness of life, a walk with Christ. All of this, pleasing unto the Father. There's a lot in it when we look at this power of this resurrection. All right. But look what it says next. And the fellowship of his sufferings for.
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to suffer like Christ did for atonement for sin. That's the only difference, though. The only difference in mine and Jesus' suffering is the part he suffered for our sins and the atoning work that he done with Calvary. Other than that, we're going to suffer.
Yes.
There's going to be some heartaches. There's going to be some hard times. And you can go ahead and read on there in the lesson that we give you. But let's look on here. It says, in the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. I want us to understand something tonight, that we ought to rejoice because we're in the ministry. But we better remember what we have. Because we all know that there's tough times. There is a principle in the Word of God laid out very clearly by Christ and by other examples that to be used of God, there's a brokenness that has to come. A grape does not bring forth juice until it's crushed. An olive does not bring forth oil until it's crushed. Grain does not bring forth bread until it's ground. Not only that, it's ground and then mixed. tossed, huh, and put in the fire. Okay? But it comes out to help a lot of people. All right? So we don't ever want to forget that. And how do we suffer? We'll suffer physically. I've wondered, you know, it seemed like, I don't know that this is right. I'm just talking, all right? It seemed like I get one thing lined out in my health, and I'll do good, and something else happens. And it keeps me, it seems like it keeps me in wraps, you might say, or keeps me, I'll get my blood pressure lined out. I've got perfect blood pressure. Perfect. Who would ever thought I'd ever say that? And I've mellowed out so much now, I'm so sweet, I've got to take medicine for it. Huh? That's how sweet I am. I'm telling you, I take medicine morning, night, shots, all kinds of different things. I'm so sweet. Now, who'd have thought that years ago? Huh? Okay, but what I want you to understand is that there's things that keep us in check. There's things that God uses with us, puts us in positions. You go ahead and read on ahead in the lesson there. And Paul said, I rejoice in that suffering. Okay? And it's because he's in a ministry. All right? I'm going to close with this tonight. Everything about you, everything you go through, everything you see, every experience you have, can I tell you, you need to pay attention that you work it for the ministry. Because you are in the ministry.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? You are in the ministry. You are a witness. It depends on you whether or not it's going to be good or bad. Mm-hmm. But you're in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you, son.